This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and thank you to Mr. Chris Arnold for taking over every top of the hour. You're going to get one of those for the next few days. We are here for the week. We got Alec Medford by my side as well, and we got James hanging out with us. Thank you very much, James, for being here today. The C block is underway, and as we do on Mondays, it's time for hits and misses. We will start things off with text in your Cowboys thank you letters. Who would you like to thank for what they accomplished yesterday? You can talk about their hits yesterday as well. I can throw a few out there real quick. Rico Dowdle, he was darting through a few screens. They didn't do great in the run game yesterday, but in the screen game, he was able to pick some stuff up that I really liked. CeeDee Lamb is a tough son of a bee, and he's so skilled as well. Cooper Rush, I want to give him a compliment. He was very calm in the pocket yesterday, and the offensive line did a really good job of protecting him, giving him those opportunities. If we go back and look at this offensive line early in the season, we want to have that discussion of what went wrong. That was it. For me, the offensive line, Zach Martin not being the Zach Martin we've known for so many years, that was one little blemish. Well, the other blemish was Tyler Guyton not being prepared. So those two blemishes were a problem. Then your right tackle just wasn't quite up to snuff. Your rookie center isn't an all-pro yet. And so all those things limited your offense. Now they're looking better because they've had the reps together. They've worked together more. That offense is finally starting to look productive. I would love to see, at this point, what Dak would look like behind that offensive line. I know there are a lot of people out there that were going to be texting him and be like, oh, he'd still be garbage. And I just don't believe that. But I think that this offensive line, what they've done to give him the room that he needs to work, congratulations to both them and Cooper Rush. You brought up Leafau so many times this week. He looked so fun. He looks so much fun to watch. Then there's Donovan Wilson. He had that gigantic hit on Mike Evans that made Mike Evans look like he didn't want to play football anymore.
He looked so put out after.
Didn't he? I mean, from there on, it just looked like he was like, don't throw me the ball anymore, Baker. What that do I dude do? Hurt me. And then the secondary. I thought the secondary played a very tough game last night. The secondary. They were hitting hard. Deron Bland was pretty much blanketing Mike Evans to the point where it didn't seem like you were getting the full Mike Evans effect. Anything deep wasn't turning into touchdowns. But Jordan Lewis for essentially sealing that game. I know Deron Bland's fumble strip was what really sealed it, but Jordan Lewis's interception, that was awesome. Go back and compare that, because that was interesting because, A, he got pushed in the face mask. Away and was still able to get in there, get the one arm in, and then pull it down with one arm. Go back to watch.
While they were in flight, in the air. They hadn't even fell on the ground yet.
And with a bad arm. Go back and watch his best interception at Michigan. Have you ever seen this interception that he had, Alec?
Yes.
It is, Chris, it is one of the most beautiful interceptions I've ever seen. He's laying on top of the receiver's back, and one hand grabs it with his left hand.
OBJ?
Not quite like that.
Okay.
But I'll pull it up here in just a minute. Jordan Lewis can do that stuff. And that's one of the things I really appreciate
it. He's a dog,
man. From the 682, I want to thank Al Harris for bringing the secondary up to an elite level, or at least a respectable level across the league. Why are we celebrating? From the 972, the Cowboys' huge victory that literally changes nothing about how much of the failure this season has been. The only thing it's proven is how ridiculously overpaid Dak is.
There are people who will always think that.
I don't know that I was... Was I celebrating a huge victory? I mean, they still are out of the playoffs.
Well, no, I don't think anybody expected them to be going to the playoffs. And
I didn't get crappy football last night. That's what I was hoping for.
I'm going to say this again. I'm trying to make business... I'm trying to decide who gets to stay. You follow where I'm going? A lot of these guys are going to get renewed or they're going to leave. And the Cowboys, quiet as it's kept, are $25 million under the cap right now. All that money's not going to go to Micah, and the cap goes up every year. So as you try to rebuild a team, it's more than just the draft, it's more than just trades, and it's more than just free agents. You want to keep some of your own. There are some guys the Cowboys lost this offseason. That was the depth. You can't just assume everybody that they bring in out of off of other teams' roster cuts in training camp is going to learn the Mike Zimmer defense on the fly. Or they're going to learn whatever the offense on the fly. That's probably part of the struggle of the first part of the season. You had guys learning a new defense. You had new guys learning each other because they just got there 2 weeks ago. I mean, building a team building is a sport, but don't just focus on strategy alone and say a season sucks because you weren't satisfied.
For the person that asked about Al Harris getting a shot at defensive coordinator job at some point, I agree. Like the dude, he loves his players, and his players love him. And the way that he played, if you ever watched Al Harris play throughout his career, there was this tenacity that you were like, I don't want to play against him today. I just remember going, he's going to eat us alive. Mm-hmm. And so he brings that to the way that he coaches, and I really appreciate that a lot. Let's hit up some hits and misses from the weekend. This is a stat, CA, that I've been keeping for the entire season. I don't know why I started doing it. I think it was the idea of what is generally what happens when you run the ball well versus what happens when you pass the ball well.
I love this.
And it was because the Cowboys weren't running the ball well, right? Like they were just bad at it. So I was like, okay.
You mean the committee?
Yeah, exactly. They were bad at it. And it was obviously the Derrick Henry conversation. We were like, look, this is what happens when you can run the ball. The top 10 passer records this week went 4-6. They went 3-7 last week. That puts their current overall season 77-83. So if you're one of the top 10 passers each week, you've had a winning record less times than you've had a losing record this year, by far. I think you've only had one week where you've won 7 games. Other than that, you're not getting there. For the top 10 rushing records, that means if your rusher was in the top 10, this is their record, 8-2 this week. They were 7-3 last week, and now they are at 110-50. Again, this conversation is... definitely, if you're winning, you can run the ball and salt it away late in the game.
Exactly.
But also, if you're not running the ball effectively early in the game, you're not going to be able to do that later either because you're not going to be able to get up. So, and obviously, the passers, they're behind. They're trying to make some statement late in the game. But the point is, the records show more. If you're running the ball better, you're going to be on the winning side of football. The misses of the weekend, number 3, Kyler Murray. He threw his 6th pick in the last 4 games, and they lose to Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's surprising everybody but the Cowboys.
Hey, you heard what Kyler had to say about the cold last week during AM on the FM. Just said a non-FCC-friendly word when he found out it was going to be 35 degrees.
He is not a fan of that.
He's not a fan of that, and he did not play like he was a fan of it.
No, he didn't. And that, like, that's what... I don't understand about the Cardinals. They have the pieces.
Yeah.
They have a very talented receiver.
I like their coach.
They have a great tight end. McBride's great. Their running back runs strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, Connor, for whatever reason, their games are always extremely close, and they come out on the wrong side of it most of the time. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I'm very confused at when it comes to them. Number 2 on the misses of the weekend, I'm going to say Sam Darnold because I'm guessing that I just missed this completely. I think most of the world did as well. But Sam Darnold, I missed his grittiness. I didn't know how gritty he was. And this year, he's proven it time and again when it comes to late game situations, he's executing. Now, maybe it's him, or maybe it's his head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
Maybe it's a combination. He's found the coach that works best with him.
And which was the great thing for Kirk Cousins as well. Kevin O'Connell is now 25-9 in one possession games. Ooh. That is the second best record in NFL history.
Wow.
With at least 25 games. It's also the second time in franchise history the Vikings are now 13-2 or better since 1998. Kevin O'Connell is a fantastic coach.
He is.
Anybody that has slept on him and didn't realize what was going on there, he's a quarterback whisperer, if you want to call it that. I think what he does so well is he takes a quarterback who he knows has a good arm, who he knows has these things, and he gives them the confidence that they're better or that they are what he thinks they are. He makes them believe that they're that good, and I think that's what's happened with Sam Darnold. He has Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison to throw to. He's got Aaron Jones to hand the ball off to. He's got Hawkinson. Mm-hmm. He's got all the tools at his disposal. And then he's got a really good play caller. Sam Darnold doing a very good job of getting gritty wins for the Vikings.
Sam's going to be a free agent too. He's going to get paid.
They want to bring him back.
Yeah.
You saw what happened in New York whenever he got drafted there. What happens whenever you don't instill confidence in your guy, because you heard the famous line, he was seeing ghosts out there. Like, he never believed in himself, and that's why that system would never work for him. That's why that team, that chemistry would never work, that market, everything involved with the New York Jets wouldn't work for him. But you get him with a team with a guy like Kevin O'Connell, who just says, like you were saying, Corey, I've got these guys here for you. If you trust yourself to get the ball to them, then we can unlock so much within you and within this offense. And it gives me the, what we said for so long, at least for me up until recently with the Kyle Shanahan system, the don't screw it up system. He says, hey, I'm giving you one job. You go execute. You're going to feel like $1 million whenever you walk out of there with a 14-point win over a really good team. I really love Kevin O'Connell's system, but I love what he does for players. And you guys talked about it, I think, last week or maybe the week before, after they played the Colts. He walked up to Anthony Richardson and he said, you're going to be in this league for a long time. Keep your head up. You're going to be fine. I believe in you. I don't want to play against you again.
If you go back and watch quarterback, Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, Mariota.
Love that.
You get to see the relationship that he builds with Kirk Cousins through that season. And Kirk Cousins had to go to therapy a lot, mental health therapy. But most of the time, what you heard from his therapist or what you heard while Kevin O'Connell was talking to him was, you got this, you can do this. And then whenever you got Kirk Cousins alone, he goes in there into his trophy room.
Yes.
And he's looking at all these things. And then he pulls a letter down from his dad and he's reading this letter about how his dad was telling him, because his dad was his high school coach, all the players on the team he would write a letter to that were leaving. And he wrote in this letter about how he is an All-American and all that stuff. And you could see on his face, he was just like, oh, wow, my dad thought I was that good. And he never believed he was that good. I think that was always one of the things with Kirk Cousins, was truly believing he was who people thought he was. And then the number one miss of the weekend, the Eagles, as they were fighting for playoff positioning, they lose to Washington. They lose Hurts also to the concussion. Somebody texted in and says it sounds like he's going to be available this week. I'm not really sure. I haven't seen a report on that. If y'all have seen that, let me know. But Devontae Smith, that drop, he's wide open, middle of the field, turns Kenny Pickett into a hero, and he drops it right in front of it. And then Jaden Daniels gets the opportunity. What an amazing moment that game was, but that is a huge miss for the Eagles. The hits of the weekend. Jared Goff, ladies and gentlemen, number three, 336 yards, three touchdowns. I think he had a 134 passer rating. He was fantastic, and then we saw the amazing play that he had.
Don't get me started.
With the stumble bum. On the play?
Yeah, it makes me feel some type of way.
Did you wish they would happen down here?
Because we'll never see it here, for one, but two, whenever you see such creativity, it's just like, for the football, like the insane football fan, for the football junkie, the purists are throwing up and I love it. And the junkies like me are just like salivating. I'm like, I swear, I'm like, get a little turned on by it. You know, you're just like sports horny over it. Like, what is happening here? This is so crazy. And I want to see that level of creativity spread throughout the league, but you get so many head coaches, maybe like one in Dallas, that is stuck in his old ways because it worked 8-10 years ago. They don't want to move on from it. Then you have guys like Ben Johnson that are just like, one night, I'm up here at the office at like 1 a.m. What if my guy trips and then throws the ball, intentionally trips? That would be fun, wouldn't it? It works to perfection. And then after that, Jared Goff and Dan Campbell are on the sideline on the Microsoft Surface laughing, looking at the replay, yeah. Laughing like, you got him good.
I put that play up there with that play that Sark called when Archie Manning came into the game. Everybody's like, he's going to get the first down or going fourth down. He's going to run it some kind of way. And the ball went right through his legs on purpose to the running back, straight to the running back, and he got the first down. Mm-hmm. I was like, look at that.
Yeah.
So I know what you're saying, Alex. I'm like, look at that. Well, that's great. Look at that.
Then last night, Buffalo does the direct snap to James Cook and the fake handoff to Josh Allen.
Bring it.
They're doing everything they can. Number two on the hits of the weekend, Jonathan Taylor went absolutely off. 218 yards, three touchdowns, 7.5 yards per carry. And coming out of Wisconsin, I remember going, that dude doesn't, I don't know, they used him so much, he might not have legs to make it in this career. And there have been some downs for him. There have been some downs, but yesterday was definitely one of the ups for him. And then the number one hit of the weekend, Jaden Daniels, 5 touchdowns. He puts down the Eagles. Now, it did end the Cowboys' hopes of getting into the playoffs, but he had 4 turnovers in that game. And I believe it was Joe Davis just could not believe that they were actually even in this game, that they were like, I can't believe this. The Eagles are missing their starting quarterback, and everybody was furious that he wouldn't point that out.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
But he just could not believe that Washington was winning this game.
I tweeted this yesterday. It feels like Joe Davis is on the call for every fairy tale, nonsensical moment and ending in sports. And I love it because I think he, outside of Mike Tirico maybe, he's the best in the game at painting pictures, even though you have the picture right in front of you. Because he, like you say, he was out of his mind. He was like, this is not happening right in front of me. Like, we have the Adolis Garcia home run that we saw in the World Series, the Corey Seager home run. Like, he's been on the call for so many great moments, and he just... The fan in him comes out because he's saying the exact same thing you're thinking. Like, unbelievable. 5 turnovers in one game.
I got to give you and Kevin credit because when you guys had him on during the World Series, I said, he's such a regular dude. He's going to get some barbecue in Texas.
Yeah, he was like, I like to smoke briskets.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. Joe Davis is a good dude. I think his kid's name is named after Oral Hershiser,
too. I think that's his buddy. That's his mentor.
Amazing. So, and great stuff over the weekend. It was a really fun football weekend, and we get to dissect even more of it. Coming up next, let's take a quick look at the college football playoff weekend and take a look at what's going on tonight as CA. What does he have in store for the Mavs this evening? Next on The Fan. We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Corey Majors. I got Alec Medford sitting by me today, along with the 3-time, maybe 4, maybe 6. It depends on how many Hall of Fames you have. Hall of Famer, it is Mr. Chris Arnold joining us today. We got James.
Tritely.
I'm just going to call him James and right now.
Better than what Mike called me.
He looks like a Peter to me.
Yeah. Hey, what an introduction, by the way.
To peel the curtain back, whenever we had Bassick on, I was in the control room back there. He called Bassick and he goes, what's up, Mike? It's Peter.
And Mike was like,
I could have given him like 20 names and he'd be like, yeah, let's go with it. So the first thing he said to me is like, it's a little early, aren't you? And I was like, well, I mean, we got a minute and a half.
He probably will never really know your name.
That's fine.
But it's okay. He doesn't know my name still. We worked on the show for about 4 years together.
Former players in big sports, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, they don't know all the teammates' names because they don't want to know them until they have to know them.
Because if you work in a job where there's a lot of turnover,
exactly.
You start to get that point where you're just like, I don't know if I want to get to know them because I'm going to be emotionally torn whenever they're gone.
That's part of it,
The over the weekend, college football, I'm going to say, did not live up to what I expected.
Blowouts.
And I don't know how you guys feel about this, but to start things off on Friday night, I was like, Indiana, Notre Dame. Indiana did not look ready for that moment against Notre Dame. And their success was low. So Notre Dame moves on, and Indiana, who was very cocky, very, I'm going to say, a little arrogant with the way Cignetti took it.
It was the coach. But you know what? I'm going to blame him because he all through the years, he was kind of like Dan Campbell. But then in that game, he was just running the ball, and he was very conservative. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not how you've been coaching.
Yeah. I had seen them play that kind of game again previously, but it was in their one loss.
Yeah, to Ohio State.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, they were blowing out everybody, and he was, like, I'm serious, like Dan Campbell. And I'm like, oh, man. And again, every game was a blowout.
I guess the next up game would have been Saturday morning. And Saturday morning was... I loved Saturday. I loved this weekend, but I loved Saturday because I did tell my wife. I said, "Wife, I am watching football all day Saturday."
You're supposed to say wifey at least.
Well, I said, "Wife, I'm watching football all day Saturday." And she said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yeah." And I showed her the schedule and she goes, "Have fun." And
that's nice.
Whenever the day was done, I got into bed and I told her, I said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I did exactly what I wanted today. I don't regret anything. I sat on the couch and watched all the football. May have gotten up to like go outside a couple times with the dog. Other than that, I loved my Saturday." Mm-hmm. Now, actually, is this okay? I started a fire at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then basically while I was watching the games, tended to the fire. That was the only thing I accomplished on Saturday was watching football chillaxing. And tending to a fire.
Just relaxing and chillaxing.
Am I putting out too much CO2 or something? What's going on there?
I mean, I was a communications major for a reason, majors.
All right.
I don't know how any of that works. So I did all the AP classes in high school and stuff, and I didn't learn anything.
The first game, though, that we were going to pay attention to was definitely SMU.
Wait. Before you do that, you got a total from the 214 says you should call your wife Sugar Muffin.
I just call her. I call her Dre. So, because her name's Adrian.
Don't forget about Dre.
Her mom, her mom is Sharon. Mm-hmm. And my father-in-law calls her Shay. And one day I just was like, Dre. And so I've just stuck with that. And she answers to it, and I'm the only person that calls her that.
But the real question is, does she call you her Rizzly Bear?
No, she's never.
Need to work on that.
Man, my kids use all the new terms. I don't think my wife is going to say, you know what, I got to use Rizzly Bear for my husband because he's so Sigma. That's not going to, she's not dropping how Sigma I am or how skibbity things are around the house.
Are, to her, you are him.
Yeah, I'm the man.
He is him.
A man's man.
SMU and Penn State. How are we disappointed in the way the SMU game went?
Very. I'm going to tell you why I'm very disappointed, because I really wanted them to be the wild card upset team.
Yes.
Because all year long, they only lost two games, and both games was by a field goal. That's it. And they were being so disrespected. I'm like, they can play with Penn State. And then, unfortunately, for Kevin Jennings, the quarterback, he had the worst game of his college career. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the same kid that led South Oak Cliff to back-to-back state championships. South Oak Cliff lost the night before. On a field goal miss, and I was like, man, Kevin, I was just feeling bad for him because that's not what he looks like normally. And again, they would not be there without him. And there were probably some people thinking, well, why don't you put in Preston Stone, who he replaced, and Preston Stone went to portal, and he wasn't even there.
It was I think it was early in the game, maybe it was their first drive.
Yes.
They're down
in the
15 yards?
Yeah.
No.
And Kevin Jennings is rolling out to the right. He has a first down. Yep. And then he says, screw it. He's wide open. Yep. I'm going for the touchdown here. And multiple times, I don't remember who the guy was on the broadcast, he took a shot at that. And, oh, he wishes he had that back. And then there were times where he was like, oh, you got to be aggressive here. And I was like, you just took a shot at the guy for not taking the conservative approach. Why are you telling him to be aggressive now? So I loved that he saw it and he was going for it. It didn't execute. That was whenever the waterfall happened. That was when everything kind of fell apart from there on.
I didn't expect them to win, but I didn't expect them to look the way they did. I feel like such a liar. I don't know ball. I went on Kansas City radio on Friday, and I told them that they were going to turn heads for the country. I didn't say positively. I said they were going to turn
they
heads.
They could have.
And I think they did, just in the wrong way. They turned away from the TV and said, no, I'm good on this. But, yeah, I thought it would be competitive. Mm. And even if it was one of those where they ran up the score a little bit closer in the fourth quarter and we said, huh, look, it ended up being an 8-point game kind of thing, where it was like, it wasn't really the story of the game. But I was thinking, man, they got the quarterback figured out. They got a chance.
Yep.
And like CA said, it was his worst game. And what I hate for the program overall is that they were always in a weird place making the playoff. It was either going to be if they win. Why weren't we talking about them enough? You know, they deserve to be here. They're incredible. But when they lose and they don't look good in losing, it's why did they make it? You know, the 12-team format sucks. I knew there was going to be blowouts, and Vegas knew it too. All of the lines were double digits.
Like, and they all covered.
It was never going to be relatively close, but I thought SMU would at least, you would say, look, they were the less talented team today, but they played.
Can I say this for all the Alabama fans or the ones who say Alabama should have been in there? That proves it. Let me explain something real simple. Alabama had three losses, right? If Alabama had lost to great teams this year, we're talking about Texas. They had lost to Texas A&M. If they had even lost to Georgia. But guess what? They didn't. They lost to OU that sucked. They lost to Vanderbilt that sucked. So don't tell me that that team deserved to be in there. If they had lost to great teams, your argument is valid. Those three losses did not impress anybody. And I went to OU.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there too, for sure. That was, I'm not going to argue at this point. If you weren't in it, and you're Elaine Kiffin, and you're upset about it, and you're like, oh, this is so entertaining.
That was the best part of the weekend, was his tweets and getting absolutely destroyed by every figure in college football.
Your quarterback dart was fun to watch this year. Yeah. It was also fascinatingly entertaining to watch him throw you out of a bowl game.
Yeah.
You were like, hey, we're going to do it. And you're like, anything we can to get done with this game. And then, let's give UT their credit for taking down Clemson.
I won't.
In a pretty easy fashion.
Which sets up the Arizona State UT game, and it's going to be in Atlanta. What's wild about that is Arizona State, quiet as it's kept, they are scary.
Mm-hmm.
They are really good. Low-key, nobody thought they'd been the Big 12, and they won the whole damn thing. And that running back, he's a big old bowling ball.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he can't stop him.
Yeah,
he's very strong. He's kind of like Marshawn Lynch. He's kind of like beast mode.
They showed a glow-up of him from his, like, when he arrived at campus at Arizona State to where he is now. His body's completely changed.
Is that right?
He got there and he was like, I got to do these things. And he's done everything it takes for his body to handle what he's putting it through.
Guess who's the favorite to win the whole thing now? The path to the victory. I mean, to the championship. According to the odds makers, it's UT.
Interesting. Gross. Interesting.
It did look good, though, because I know it got cut close late. But Texas has been at their best when they get that running game going.
And that defense.
And probably because I don't trust Quinn Ewers in the red zone at all. So, and I know Bassick is in the group chat every single week. Anytime
Quinn Ewers
he touches a football, you know, we're hearing that. So I sound like a broken record. But, you know, I will give him credit where, you know, believe it if you want, where Sark did say after the game that both of the Jaden Blue touchdowns, he said that Quinn Ewers audibled out of pass plays into those.
Really?
Yes. So I'll give him credit because I know it was Carter Freeman was telling y'all last week during the Tuesday tailgate, he was like, everyone's saying Arch Manning. Well, he's a freshman. He doesn't have the experience to make those decisions. Quinn Ewers at least has the brain power and the football IQ because of the experience. Now, do I think he's the better quarterback in that situation overall? No, but he's got the experience to say, that's not a good look. Let's just do it our way.
Yeah, and then that turns into some big plays, which you got to give them credit for as well. Now, Ohio State and Tennessee, it happened. Choppy's upset about it. Choppy. We move on. But CA, over the weekend, our Dallas Mavericks had their adventures against the Clippers where they split that series, and now they are on to the Trailblazers tonight. What do you have in store for the people going to the AAC this evening?
Well, here's the setup. What I found out from Mark Folliwell was the Mavericks played 40 days of basketball and only played 4 home games in that stretch.
What?
And none of those games were in a row, let alone back-to-back. This is going into that first Clippers game on Thursday. They had been all over the North American map. You knew from Toronto to Miami to San Francisco to Phoenix. I mean, Denver. I go on and on and on. They played everywhere and only lost 2 games.
Jeez, man.
They won 12 out of 14 on their road trip. They lose to the Clippers without Kyrie and Luka. It's rare that both of them were out. Luka's got this heel bruise that's for real. Kyrie's got this shoulder that he was nursing, kind of like CD's got this shoulder thing. Kyrie's been playing through the shoulder all season. But they said, going to rest it up. We should be able to be all right. And let's see what the depth can do. Well, guess what? They lost that game at the end of the game. And then Saturday, man.
Norman Powell was fantastic on Saturday.
Norman Powell was is incredible on Thursday, too.
Yeah,
that's why
was.
They won the game. Here's what happened on Saturday. You had Quentin Grimes step up with 20 points. You had 8 guys in double digits. Kyrie scored 15. Klay Thompson has been on fire double digits ever since his plantar fasciitis. The Mavericks are at home. Not only those 2 games against the Clippers, they're home tonight against the Trailblazers, the worst team in the NBA in the West. And then you have them on Christmas Day in the afternoon against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who don't know who they are yet. So with that being said, this team is fun to watch. And I think Luka could play tonight. We don't know for a fact yet, but I will say this for people saying, well, is Luka really hurt? Yeah, he's hurt. And you saw through in the playoffs, sometimes he'll play through all this hurt. But because he played in Europe and Real Madrid and that they got a soccer team over there, it's just hard to read him.
Mm-hmm.
I will
yes,
say this,
yes.
if it were a playoff game, he'd probably play.
His body is good enough to go.
Yeah, but they're fun. And you got to like what they've been doing.
I've always had a question to you, and I don't know if I've ever asked this.
Mm-hmm.
How much when we see the Dr. Pepper halftime and they're throwing the football and they're doing activities on the field, on the court, how much chaos is all of that? Or is it just like you've got it down? There's no chaos at all whenever you're doing on-court activities?
Oh, things can happen.
In the arena.
Because you can hope for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to say, as long as people love the sausage, they have no idea how the sausage is made. You have no idea what might change up at the last minute. Because remember, sometimes maybe a coach will call a quick timeout. You got to get out there.
Yeah.
Me or Ali D or Ivy, we got to get out there and make it happen. Or let's say a contestant or somebody you're interviewing, they freeze up. Or let's say the mic's not working. The battery went down.
Oh, man, that happens so much.
Those things happen. You just got to be prepared. You got 20,000 people around you looking at you to see if it's going to work or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an adrenaline rush for me, so I enjoy it.
Man, it's a lot of fun. If you get a chance, go out to the AAC and check out our friend, Mr. Chris Arnold. Mm-hmm. He'll be there tonight for you, but he'll be back in here tomorrow with us. The KNC Masterpiece will be after it tomorrow. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it's time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. This crosstalk is courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how are we feeling on this day? As CA just pointed out, we have the official pregame show of the Dallas Cowboys today.
That's right, on a Victory Monday.
Nice.
It's beautiful, man. It's a holiday week.
Two guys
week.
Should pick the Buccaneers to win.
Two guys that'll be eating their words for the next 5 hours.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Was there a specific thing that you were like, the Bucs are just better, or was there something else?
No, maybe the fact that they were playing for the NFC South title.
That's my team theory.
Something to play for.
Something to play for. But little do we know that we have a difference maker as a head coach here.
Your guy?
There you go. There you go,
my guy.
There you go, Brad. It's positivity.
My guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
My guy.
Your heart, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my guy.
Yeah, that's the biggest bummer after all of this is if you are not in the side of bringing McCarthy back. Everything is very loud right now surrounding him returning.
No.
It's not just about the draft pick stuff. It's if McCarthy's coming back, it's wins like that is going to do it.
Don't tell Bobby.
Bobby
was hilarious this morning.
You know, even when you start talking about bringing Mike back, it makes the bring Mike back people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of, so we've got a couple of games here.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
We've got a couple of games. The fact that, you know, let's do this. What are we waiting for?
Extend the man.
Let's go.
If Brian were TL, he'd be saying, That's my coach.
That's my coach. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It'd be alligator tears, though.
Hey, I'm going to be.
Or a crocodile.
I'm not going to change my what I feel about it. But, hey, the guy wins on short weeks. Guy gets the team to play hard. Guy, you know, players play hard. Come on. Let's run this thing back.
It is the one thing that's been that I've held on to is you fired Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get you over the top. One of the other things that I didn't like about Jason Garrett was the inconsistency. 1 year good, 1 year bad, 1 year good, 1 year bad. You did have 3 good years of Mike McCarthy, but he hasn't gotten you over the top. And this year was another example of it. And
The future.
The future's when
the future's, hey,
we're building something here.
We're building something here.
It's only been a half decade. Yeah.
Come on, man.
It feels like this is a time to rebuild. Is what
you're saying
feels
he's
like
not a difference maker?
I don't know the answer to that question.
He's a weapon on the sideline. You've seen that call sheet.
All right. Okay.
I thought that was a Denny's video. Hey, I'm excited. I'm excited for the folks that are in the Bring Mike McCarthy camp back. I'm excited for these folks. I'm really happy for you. You know, I was telling you guys in the break, I have never – Brett Veach doesn't even talk about Andy Reid in this glowing terms like this man does. I'm just excited for the opportunity to see this again.
That is Jerry Jones stepping out and talking to the media right after the game just to point out, hey, this is my guy.
All I want to say is, how about that Coach McCarthy, man? Got them boys playing. Got them boys fired up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. No, and the great thing is, Jerry goes out there out of his way to step out of the locker room to say that, and then he wanted to leave after. He wanted to end it after just saying, great job by the head coach. Merry Christmas, guys. Tried to walk away, and everybody had to stop him to ask him more stuff.
If he feels that strongly about it, let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
And this was my thing to Bobby this morning, and it was in passing, but if you believe that that Mike hasn't earned anything, what did Dak earn? He didn't go to a Super Bowl either. He didn't get him over the hump. CD didn't give him over the hump.
If Mike would just wait this out, he might be the highest paid coach in the league. If we just wait this out.
By Jerry or
by Jerry.
just keep holding on to it.
Just kind of hold on
He's
to it.
He's already got the man's love.
Just hold on to it. I mean, the plan, you saw it CD and you see Dak. Maybe if Mike could just kind of hold on a little bit.
So he's thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't know, Jerry.
Made up his mind
I'm thinking about holding out on
holding
you.
Holding out is the way to go.
Thinking about holding out on you.
I'm not going to be in training camps. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, good luck, guys. The best thing that can happen to McCarthy is some lower extremity injury that's relatively catastrophic, and they'll give him the fatty, fatty boomba.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Yeah.
Like Dak would have made more money if he just had the hamstring injury before
last
the contract.
Year. Sure.
You know, if he would have just waited it out until week 9.
And then $75 million.
Who knows?
Do you think Jerry would wait to see who's available to hire?
I don't think he wants to.
Right?
I don't think Jerry wants to wait. Mm-hmm. I think Jerry.
He's got his guy.
I think they're comfortable with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They are. You know?
I started feeling that way.
I think status quo.
No, Jerry doesn't want to go through this hiring process.
Learn a new coach.
Look what he just did. Look what he had to go through with the defensive coordinator hiring process this year.
Yeah.
Not only
he hired
the
guy he knew.
He hired him, but look at how long it took that defense to get on the same page.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mike and them didn't probably teach it very well to start this thing.
You think so?
Yeah. They came out of the gates. They were awful. You know,
and then he was using a bunch of guys that they just got off the waiver wire.
They played with 7 different cornerbacks. Give them some credit for that. But when they were full strength, they weren't very good.
Nope.
So let's, you know, Mike Zimmer is, I mean, Mike's one of my best friends, but Michael admitted they did not play worth a damn to start this year.
Till the bye.
There was a line that he said at some point in the season. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was, I've always been used to having really good teams. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, damn, that's a shot at personnel right there. It feels like I don't have the teeth to go out there and bite is what I felt like he was saying. And they're not quite there yet.
Mike has been great for him. Oso Digizoa has been great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordan Lewis is going to look fearful in a Commander's uniform next year playing nickel.
Don't say that.
You know?
I hate that.
Let's be honest.
Dan Quinn has a lot of people on his side.
Let's be honest.
And they're in position to win.
Like McNaghany playing nickel slot for them? You think they're going to play with him anymore?
This is true.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Come on, man.
Hey, how about Jordan Lewis playing with like an arm brace? You almost never see a
and
corner.
That pick?
Looking like Tyron
Smith. That pick was unbelievable, dude.
Looking like the winner.
And he had a run stop where he just knifed in there and smacked somebody.
Zimmer did a great job. They blitzed secondary blitz him and Wilson a couple. They had 4 of them. They had 3 pressures and a sack. That's calling it. That's sending the dudes at the right time. Mm-hmm. Got them all unblocked. you know, confused with the double A gap, that mug blitz they give him, that look. Man, they confused the Buccaneers on that. It was great.
Maybe this is in a couple of weeks to revisit this discussion, but...
Why? We're going to hire this guy. We're going to hire this guy this week. Merry Christmas.
I don't know that I have enough that I believe in yet, but... When it came to Dan Quinn was very good at overwhelming you with pass rush, but they couldn't stop the run.
They got ahead in that game last night. That helped.
The Cowboys, have they gotten better at stopping the run while also being able to rush passer? Do you feel like that they've gotten better
probably
at that?
Probably a tick better than what it was with Dan Quinn, but it is still not satisfactory.
I think Mike has done a better job of stopping the run than Dan Quinn did.
Right? I agree. He's using bigger linebackers instead of those safeties.
Kendricks has been good. Leofau's been good. Heck, you know, some of your defense, damn, Mozzie Smith playing better for you. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of figuring some things out playing the run.
Not quite as sexy as what Dan Quinn was doing, but keeps games close enough for
you to win.
A lot
of leads, man. Dan Quinn playing with a lot of leads. Yeah. And rush that passer.
You mentioned like some of the unblocked stuff.
A lot of unblocked.
John Owning had a stat last week about how Micah already had his most in a season unblocked pressures. It was like 9, and he had missed a handful of games.
The whole month of October.
It's like, man, credit to Zimmer the offense is literally getting to the line of scrimmage and trying to figure out where is number 11, and Zimmer's done a pretty solid job scheming him and everybody into open opportunities.
You have to scheme. They've done a good job of also 11's allowed others. Carl Lawson has been a good value for you as well. Yeah.
Just bull rushed worse.
It seems like that we've gone through the times where all of a sudden it's been they've signed some bad free agent defenders that weren't worth a damn. They hit on these guys they got. They did a good job. I mean, we were all kind of like, man, they keep bringing dudes in. Well, they kept bringing dudes in because they had to need to figure out, and Carl Lawson, they got that one figured out. It was good signing by.
Yeah, they had some significant losses that they had to try and figure out how to recover, and it took a while.
Yep.
This happened to me last night, and I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all, but I don't know exactly how to handle it. I'm furious.
I can tell.
My son was going out to, we have a little studio in the backyard, a little shed that I just kind of helped him build a little studio, and he was heading out there, and I heard some noise. And I asked my wife, I was like, did you hear that? And she goes, no, that was Avery. And I was like, no, it wasn't. He's not outside yet. And Avery goes outside and he comes back in and he goes, we got egged. And somebody went in our alley and threw over our fence, threw eggs into our pool at our house. And then whenever I went around to the front, they egged my son's car. They didn't get my car, which is in the back near the alley.
Yeah.
And I went and looked at all the cameras. And all the cameras, either they were too far away, or I just watched eggs fly over the fence in the backyard.
Just lobbing egg
and
grenades.
I'm not sure what to do here, because I only had the house like TP'd, you know, when I was a kid, like once. Yeah. I want to find these kids, and I want to
egg their house.
I want to egg their house.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I want to egg their house now. That isn't cool.
You
what
have to return. You have to set a standard here, because all of a sudden you're going to be the guy that's getting picked on.
Yeah,
everybody in the neighborhood knows you got egged last night. Mm-hmm. Everyone does. If you figure it's out all over the Facebook.
What
page.
Did your son do? Because he got his car.
Yeah, who does he have beef with?
Yeah.
And he's like nobody.
He can't sniff this out. He doesn't know who's onto this.
He said he doesn't have a clue.
Smells like an inside job to me, boys.
He definitely knows. He at least has an idea of who has something against him right now. They might not have done it, but there's somebody out there. You know, because like you said, they only got his car.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just for fun, they would have gotten the entire house and every piece of property that you have surrounding it. They got his car. Somebody has something out for it. He made somebody upset, or somebody just generally doesn't like him, which that's life.
Throwing in the pool, though, man. I mean, that's crossing the line.
That's wrong.
You're swimming in egg yolks for the rest of Christmas season.
How are you supposed to eat them?
Did they explode in the pool? Like, do you have just yolks just sort of floating around and shells?
Yeah.
That's hazardous.
Yeah, the kid, he had to clean it up. I was like, that's not me. I got to watch this Cowboys
game. Never want to overeat.
I got work to do, son.
I'm busy working right now. Y'all take care of it. What do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Pure mail-it-in gold. As always, Corey, thanks so much for asking. We do have Jared Sandler breaking down all things Rangers at 3:20, Krusty's Corner 3:40, all the film takeaways, and you have the Mike McCarthy presser 3:45, 4 o'clock.
All right, fantastic stuff. That is the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus and Eric Chiafalo with you today. Tomorrow, we will be back. Me, Chris Arnold, and Alec Medford getting after it during the midday. Yeah. Until then, you've been Masterpiece.